Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this weekend, and I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone, because I get to share vital health information with you as we do each weekend. We invite you to call 888-302-3684, 888-302-3684 with questions regarding medicine or health. And coming up, we're going to talk, it's not often that this happens in the field of nutrition. You know, these great new products like ubiquinol, alpha-lipoic acid, resveratrol, curcumin, these are legendary nutraceuticals of the past, but they're few and far between. So I'm very excited to share with you that I think there's a new breakthrough nutrient on the market. It's kind of like discovering a new planet. You know, once you discover the original eight or nine, you know, Pluto is controversial. I mean, how many new planets are you going to discover? Well, there's a new one. There's a new kid on the block, and I think it deserves your attention. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But first, I just want to share with you what has become my favorite new workout product. You know, I like to work out. This morning, it was cold outside, really cold in the Northeast. So, you know, instead of taking a run, I thought, you know, I check it out. It's cold, it's windy. And I headed for the pool, and I put in a mile swim in the pool, which was very invigorating. And what powered my performance this morning was a new product that I've been test driving called Super Beets. It's by a company called Neogenis. Now, this is based on the principle that beets improve circulation. They raise levels of nitric oxide. And there are actual studies that show that cyclists who take beet juice can improve their cycling performance by an incredible 16%. And so in the past, I've laboriously prepared beet juice, and I've held my nose because it's pretty grody tasting. And it makes my stomach do somersaults. I drunk this stuff down bravely in an effort to enhance my performance, but it's messy, it's time-consuming, and frankly, I find it kind of revolting. So I was very happy to hear that a company has come up with a new instant version of that that's easy to prepare at home. You just take a teaspoon, mix it in water, and you drink it down, and it provides all the benefits, the circulatory enhancement, nitric oxide boosting benefits of beets. So check it out. It's called Super Beets. Go to intelligentbeets.com now. And I've got a special offer there. You can get a 30-day supply for free with your first order. Plus, you can get a free book, which is this little booklet that explains it all. Beat the Odds. That's a play on words. B-E-E-T. The Odds. Harness the power of beets to radically transform your health. Also good for blood pressure. Perhaps, I'm not making claims, but sexual performance also relies on circulation, nitric oxide. You get a 30-day supply for free with your first order, and you get the book, Beat the Odds. All this comes with free shipping, 100% money-back guarantee. 800-738-2198 is the number to call. Go to intelligentbeats.com on the Internet, or call 800-738-2198. Again, 800-738-2198, or go to intelligentbeats.com right now. All right, let's take some calls. Let's hear what's on your minds. Sheila in Great Neck, New York, welcome.
Hi, yes, Dr. Hoffman. I'm trying to forgo taking statins, and I've been pushed to take them. My cholesterol is, at the present time, it's 227, and it's gone up as high as 269. I'd like to know, I'm 7 years old, and I'd like to know the efficacy of a 64 CT scanner. Would that tell me if I have any damage?
Right. You don't even need a 64 CT, CT scanner. You need what's called an EBT scanner, which causes less radiation to penetrate the body. And it's a lower risk study, and it will measure your calcium levels within the arteries. And I do this test quite routinely in situations like this. Okay, you're 70 and your cholesterol's a little high, and you know, maybe you're at risk, maybe you're not. And so often I'm able to tell patients that they have zero or minimal plaque, and despite their cholesterol being high, and this is very often the case in women especially, cholesterol is high, but HDL is high. And if you don't have associated risk factors like obesity, diabetes, high C-reactive protein, high blood pressure, it's likely that you have minimal cardiovascular disease. And then, you know, taking a statin when you have minimal cardiovascular disease is a little bit like if you go into your garage to clean out your glove compartment in your car, do you need to put your seatbelts on? Well, the car's not moving. So what, you know, yeah, you're in your car, but you don't always have to put your seatbelts on when you're in the car if the car's not moving. So, you know, that would be the tiebreaker on that. I don't know about the 64 slice. That's a little fancy schmancy. That's one of the ways you can actually see where blockage might be. But in your case, just a numerical calcium score might relieve you and your cardiologist of the anxiety that you might have cardiovascular disease. And, you know, in the previous hour, if you listen, you may not have heard it, but you can go to the podcast at drhoffman.com. And I did a feature on how, you know, unnecessary statin use is not without consequences. It actually can increase your risk of diabetes. It can increase your risk of weight gain. And then there are other more common side effects, insomnia, brain fog, and, of course, the muscle aches, which statins are notorious for causing. I'm not saying there's no cause for using statins ever. And some of my patients, we have to have them on statins because, you know, they're at high risk. But for someone at low risk, it doesn't pay. And that test would be the tiebreaker. Hey, tell me about yourself, Sheila. If you don't mind sharing with our listening audience of millions, tens of millions of people listening, what's your height and weight?
5'5", 160 pounds. I have low blood pressure. I have no diabetes. My A1C hovers between 5'3", 5'6".
There you go. That's very important. You know all your data, and that's a very important prognostic. When you have a nice low hemoglobin A1C, your risk is low. Do you happen to know your highly sensitive C-reactive protein?
Yes, it's 5'3", it hovers between 5'3" and 5'6".
No, that's your hemoglobin A1C.
Oh,
I'm talking about your CRP.
Oh, yes, I think it might be 6. It's borderline. I think 5 point something.
No, I don't think it is. That's a test that measures inflammation, and if it's lower than 2, you're at low risk. So, you know, that's a test that's worth getting. We do it as part of our cardiovascular panel. We also measure oxidized LDL. We measure the particle size. You know, your LDL may be slightly high, but if the particle size is, type A, then you're at low risk, you know. And so apolipoprotein A and B, these are other factors. Plaque scores, PLAQ, the so-called Plaques test. These are also prognostic indicators of cardiovascular disease. But the best thing to do is, as you're suggesting, is look inside the artery. Look at actually what you're dealing with, and then we'll have more information. All right, let's talk to Sal. Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. My major problem is it itched, which started my right hand and my right arm.
Yeah.
And then moved to the left and sometimes in the body. I think it may have to do with having a nail problem, fungus.
Oh, it's very interesting. Yeah, that you're making a good association there. It could be that your fungal nail problem is a sign that you may have a fungal skin problem or a systemic fungal problem, so-called candida, which is, you know, can be alleviated with a low-carbohydrate diet, getting off of sugar, but perhaps even some antifungal medication or maybe even natural antifungals. We're using a couple of new products for natural products for Candida. One is called Candistatin AR, and the other one is called Candistatin BR. That's two different things that you use simultaneously to treat yeast problems. I'm not sure you have a yeast problem. There are any number of things that could cause your skin itch. You could have a food allergy. You could have a lack of essential fatty acids. Hey, Sal, do you eat a lot of fish? Do you eat a lot of salmon?
No.
Okay, so you may be dry and desiccated, and you may need to get the oil can out. And the best way to lubricate your skin is not by smearing stuff on your skin surface, but by taking the oil internally. You may need to take fish oil for, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12 months to actually restore the moisture and lubrication in your skin. So that's also a cause of inflammation and itch. So, you know, Friday possibilities, and I can't really diagnose you over the phone, but, you know, I've laid out some of them. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. That's a number. We invite your phone calls, and when we return, we're going to talk about what I think is a candidate for one of the more interesting new kids on the block in the pantheon of exciting new nutrients. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Phone calls momentarily, but when it comes to new supplements, I would characterize myself as a conservative radical. You know, I'm radical in my embrace of new cutting edge therapies, but I'm kind of conservative because something new is introduced and it's highly touted and I don't just grab at it. I kind of watch it for a while and I do my research and then I let it stay there for a while to see if it's going to stand the test of time and if it is plausible in its mode of action. And then I will often field test it on myself or on family members or, you know, ultimately on patients if I think it's safe and reasonable. And it is – these things these days are few and far between. I think there's a lot of innovation in the supplement industry, but not too often do supplements like this come to my attention. And this is something called omega-7. Now, this, that may be confusing to you because you know about omega-3s. Yeah, EPA, DHA, and vegetarian sources of omega-3 like alpha-linolenic acid. Okay, that's omega-3. It's good for you. Everybody knows how healthy that is. And then there's the omega-6s, which are, they have a duality because there's too much omega-6 in salad dressing and in fried foods. These are the bad omega-6s. But there's some good omega-6s like borage oil and primrose oil. Black currant seed oil, which contains GLA. That's an omega-6 that's beneficial. But in general, we want to get our omega-3-6 ratio to be kind of high. More omega-3s, less omega-6s. Okay, that's 3s and 6s. Now there's 7s. What the heck is that? Well, omega-7, an example of an omega-7 is something called palmitto oleic acid. Palmitto oleic acid is a fat molecule that belongs to the monounsaturated category. It actually has part of the name that oleic acid has, that's olive oil, but olive oil is not an omega-7. That's a, well, to add further confusion, that's an omega-9. Okay, this is an omega-7. And it is very interesting because there's a large amount of palmetto oleic acid in macadamia nuts, which are high in saturated fat but healthy. And there's a lot of palmetto oleic acid in high-fat dairy, but not low-fat dairy, not skim dairy. And new studies suggest that, counter to what they've been saying for years and years and years, is that high-fat dairy does not seem to be implicated in cardiovascular disease. Amazingly, they say everybody should drink skim milk, low-fat milk, 1% milk. They want to feed the kids like this watered-down milk in school to reduce their risk of whatever, cardiovascular disease because their kids are fat. And it turns out that the fat in the milk delivers palmitto oleic acid that is beneficial. Now, how does it work? It seems to work on metabolic syndrome. That's a concatenation of several factors that push people towards inflammation, cardiovascular disease, and even cancer, and certainly obesity. Metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance happens when your insulin doesn't work well, and palmitto oleic acid helps that. So it is... Yeah, it's a fat. So fats are sources of calories, but they do more than that. This one is called a lipokine, which means that it acts as a signaling molecule that signals the cells to become more receptive to insulin. And there are several implications of that. Is it reduces bad LDL cholesterol. It increases good HDL cholesterol. It helps to lower blood sugar. It helps to reduce insulin resistance. It helps to attenuate excess appetite, particularly carb cravings. It reduces inflammation. It specifically targets C-reactive protein, which is a marker for inflammation. And it has virtually no side effects. So the new product, this gets even more confusing. The product I'm going to tell you about is called Omega 10. Why Omega 10? Well, it's a combo of Omega 3 and Omega 7. So 3 plus 7 is 10, right? Do the math. Omega 10 offers palmitto oleic acid in combination with omega-3, and I'm now providing that to my patients. It's made by a company called Metagenics, which is a company where you can't buy the products in the health food stores. It's available only to physicians. And it's a cool product. I believe it's already up on our website. If not, it'll be up in a while. Omega 10 by Metagenics. Cool product for those of you suffering from metabolic syndrome. You've got a big belly, borderline blood pressure and blood sugar and high cholesterol, a bad HDL, cholesterol to HDL ratio, cardiovascular risk. That's a good supplement for you. Or say your highly sensitive C-reactive protein is high and you can't get it down. Consider omega 10. All right, let's talk to, we've got a short time for a question from Rita. If we run over, we'll take it after the break. Rita, you're from Shenandoah, Iowa. How you doing?
I'm fine. Yeah, really.
Good.
That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
I have had most of my adult life a problem with yeast, overgrowth of yeast infection, different things. The last 2.5 years, I've had thrush in my mouth.
Wow.
That I cannot get rid
of.
So
you're not just saying, well, I think I have. You actually have clear-cut evidence of yeast in your mouth. Thrush is a fungal, like a sort of a scrim or a like whitish coating to your tongue that indicates a true fungal overgrowth. Okay, so we have a hard break that we have to get to at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to keep you over. Rita from Shenandoah, Iowa with Candida overgrowth. We'll continue in just a moment.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We've got Rita on our line from Shenandoah, Iowa, where we have a local affiliate. Rita's got a question about Candida, right?
Right. I've been doing a lot of research about it, and the last 2 weeks I've tried to be on this this diet.
Right, low-carb diet.
Yes, and but what I'm reading is that that it has a biofilm, it says, that encapsulates it. And so I'm doing wild oregano oil and aloe vera and some garlic. But what it sounds like, this will only take me so far.
Right.
And especially
this is a great question because, you know, very fortuitously, I did an entire podcast this week on the subject of Candida biofilms with a guy named Dr. Stephen Olmsted, a good colleague of mine from, you know, many, many years back, who has done extensive research on biofilms. Now, what Rita's talking about, by the way, this is really good that you understand this, is that many patients who have Candida or yeast problems, they go on a low-carb diet, they take medications like Diflucan or Nystatin or Nizoral. They can use oregano oil, they can use olive leaf extract, any caprylic acid, you know, any number of things to suppress the yeast, and then the yeast comes back. It simply, you know, it just doesn't go away. And the reason for that is that many bugs, bacteria and fungus, hide in biofilms. There are slimy coatings that coat the mucous membranes that can be in your mouth, in your nasal passages, if you have sinusitis, even in your prostate, if a man has prostatitis. In the vaginal tissue, the biofilms cause chronic vaginitis because, you know, you keep applying creams up there or take oral pills, and it doesn't get to the actual fungus. It doesn't kill them. So what do you do to break the biofilms? Well, there's a couple of new products. You know, one is that I'm using is called Interphase, and then there's Interphase Plus. And these are products that help to break down the biofilms so that whatever you're using and your body's own defenses can penetrate and actually kill the yeast. So say you're using oregano oil and the biofilm protects the organism. Well, it's only going to knock it back a little bit, and there'll still be enough yeast organisms surviving to come back with a vengeance when you stop using the oregano oil. So the product in question, Interphase, we are stocking it. I don't know if it's on our website at drhoffman.com yet, but it's made by a company called Claire, K-L-A-I-R-E. And I don't even think we can put it on the website. It may be something that you have to just call directly because they may not allow us to publicize it on our website. But it is a product that is, you know, available via nutritionally oriented pharmacies. We have it. Doctors prescribe it. And, you know, that is a helpful product for attacking these difficult to eradicate biofilms. You know, other examples of biofilms in your nasal passages, you have biofilms that keep the bacteria present, and we recommend Clear Nasal Spray, X-L-E-A-R. which is a xylitol-based nasal spray. It helps to break down the biofilm so that you can eradicate the bacteria. But that's a, you know, you're on the right track there, Rita, in terms of pursuing kind of a sophisticated program of self-care, talking about the biofilms. I think that's an important factor.
Thank you. But how long do I know how to take it for?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a limit to self-care on this. I mean, the proof of the pudding is you don't have yeast problems. But sometimes it's hard to tell if you have yeast problems. You may have, you know, lethargy. You may have brain fog. You may have gastrointestinal problems. You may have skin itch or other forms of allergies. And diagnosing Candida is an imprecise art. There's no single perfect blood test or stool test or culture, you know, whether it's a mouth culture, nasal culture, vaginal culture, that can absolutely tell you that your Candida is gone. It's more of a subjective thing. Often patients report that they feel clearer, they feel better, more energized. Many of their symptoms disappear when they properly address Candida with nutraceuticals and, of course, diet and sometimes medications. So maybe invoke a little help from a health professional out by you in Iowa. That might help too. All right? You've got to find a naturopath or a nutritionally-oriented physician, nutritionally-oriented chiropractor who knows their stuff on this. All right, give it a shot. All right. How many of you are going to be up tomorrow morning? That's Sunday morning at 7 a.m. in the New York metropolitan area. Probably not that many of you, but I like to get up early. And there's a program I like to listen to called Katz's Corner. It's by a good colleague of mine. He shares the airwaves with his colleague, Dr. Philippa Cheatham. It's Aaron Katz, who's a great integrative urologist. Well, I just want to announce I'm going to be a guest on that program tomorrow morning. So if you're up at 7 a.m., 770 on the AM dial, WABC, is where I'll be sharing a conversation about integrative urology, natural treatment for prostate problems, including prostate cancer, with host Dr. Aaron Katz and his sidekick, Philippa Cheatham, tomorrow morning at 7. I'm looking forward to it. And I get up early anyway, so I'll just have to get up a little earlier and get down to the studio to have that conversation. Hope you can join us. All right, let's take a call from Greg. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, doctor? I have a question. Your first caller called and talked about cardiovascular. I'm hearing all this clinical information about pomegranate juice reducing arterial plaque, and also
that's good. Hang tight. Can you hear me? Yeah. Wait. He can't hear me. Let's talk about one thing at a time. Pomegranate is beneficial for cardiovascular disease. Actually, it's a new ingredient that I added to PhytoGuard, which is a general kind of nutraceutical combo, including resveratrol and curcumin and broccoli extract, and now we've added pomegranate to that. So I'm sorry, I interrupted your stream of thought there, Greg. So can you get back on with us?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so keep going.
The other one was serrapeptase.
Right. Okay, so serrapeptase is very interesting. It's it's actually it's an enzyme that is derived from silkworms.
Right.
Now, silkworms eat mulberry leaves, and they make silk from whatever. You know, they break it down and they turn it into silk. Now, if you ate mulberry leaves, you wouldn't be able to make silk. In fact, you wouldn't be able to digest the mulberry leaves. It's an enzyme called serrapeptase that helps to break down the fiber and cellulose in these leaves so that the silkworms can eat. And serrapeptase turns out to have potent anti-inflammatory effects. And apropos the last call, it's another thing that actually helps biofilms. So if you want to get, say, for example, you have sinusitis or you have prostatitis, and the antibiotics often don't work for that. If you take serrapeptase, I'm missing a syllable in there, it actually will help to boost the efficacy of the antibiotic and help it penetrate more deeply into the tissue to attack the infection. That's number one. Number two, it is something that may, like other proteolytic enzymes, it actually may help to reduce inflammation from a cardiac standpoint, and it may help to reduce swelling in injuries. So we often use a product called Wobenzyme, or we'll use serrapeptase. These are things that actually may help to break down fibrinogen. Fibrinogen is a sticky compound that sometimes promotes blood clotting. And so for people prone to heart attacks, strokes, serapeptase may be beneficial. There's another related product called natokinase, which has similar properties. It's derived from a Japanese food called natto, and it's used a lot in Asia, and it's also a cardiovascular preventive product. So, you know, there's a variety of things you could use for cardiovascular prevention. It kind of depends on the nature of your problem. But serapeptase may be beneficial for that. Does that help you, Greg?
I just want to know if you believe, I'm familiar with all of them, I just want to know if you believe that serapeptase does eat up the arterial plaque.
I got to say, I think that's a little bit of an ambitious claim. I don't think it, if you have a fixed amount of plaque, I generally don't see the plaque disappearing. You know, like, it'd be nice if it was like Roto-Rooter, you know, like you take Roto-Rooter, you put it down your pipes and you blast the plaque out. Well, even if that happened, that probably wouldn't be good, because if you broke off pieces of plaque and the fragments were flying around in your bloodstream, they could lodge in places and cause disastrous problems, you know, downstream. Say you had a blood clot in your thigh and you blast it free. Well, the blood circulates downward, and these little shards could lodge in your toes, causing gangrene in your toes. So that principle I don't think is happening. But what I do think happens with things like serapeptase and these natural proteolytic enzymes, anti-inflammatories, is they smooth the plaque. The plaque that's sort of jagged, hanging out, ready to break off and cause blood clots, gets sort of smoothed down, and it doesn't disappear, but it's rendered less dangerous. Let's put it that way. And one of the signs of that is you actually see lowering in highly sensitive C-reactive protein, which is a marker for what's called dangerous plaque, or plaque that is more likely to result in blood clots or blockages. All right, that's about as far as it goes. But your plaque won't disappear by magic with these kinds of things. Chelation can help that. But again, chelation will change the character of the plaque, render it more less dangerous. It doesn't necessarily blast it away. If it did that, that wouldn't even be good. All right? Good question. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And when we return, we're going to talk about an initiative that I am big-time supporter of, bringing good science to our outmoded, antiquated, and wrong-headed USDA dietary guidelines. This is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. In this week's Intelligent Medicine newsletter, we talked about natural treatments for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. So please sign up, and I think you'll enjoy it. Our roster of subscribers is growing by leaps and bounds, and all you need to do is click on the newsletter subscription box at drhoffman.com. It's on the homepage. All right, this is an initiative that I am a big-time supporter of. You know, we have USDA dietary guidelines, and a lot of good they've done us. We started with the food pyramid, which was a disaster. The base of the pyramid was 5 to 11 servings of grains per day. And at the top was just a little bit of meat. You were allowed a little bit of oil. Ultra-low-fat diet was a catastrophe for the health of Americans. And they tried to modify it by going to kind of a wishy-washy compromise, My Plate, which didn't do much to alleviate the basic conceptual deficiencies of the diet pyramid. And so it is that a group called Healthy Nation Coalition is pushing for new dietary guidelines for Americans. Now, this is not so far-fetched as it may seem. Scandinavia is already adopting new dietary guidelines which emphasize protein and healthy fat over carbohydrates. They've gotten over their low-fat mania, and they're now recognizing that a balanced diet rich in healthy, natural animal proteins and low in refined carbohydrates and relatively restricted in flour products is more beneficial for the health of these Nordic populations. So I got an invitation from one of our previous guests on the Intelligent Medicine podcast. She's a great guest, Nina Teicholz. She wrote The Big Fat Surprise. I recommend it very highly. The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. Just came out this year from Simon & Schuster. And it's a revolutionary book. And she is passing along this letter from the Healthy Nation Coalition, which seeks to change our USDA dietary guidelines for the better. This letter will be sent to the secretaries of the U.S. Departments of Agriculture and Health and Human Services, selected policymakers, and media outlets. And I plan to do a whole podcast on this subject next month. So here's essentially what the letter says. Dear Secretary Burwell and Secretary Vilsack, we urge you to adhere to the initial congressional mandate that the Dietary Guidelines act as a nutritional and dietary information and guidelines for the general public and are based on the preponderance of the scientific and medical knowledge which is current at the time the report is prepared. And what essentially they're saying is that these guidelines are not scientific because the previous dietary guidelines have contributed to the increase of chronic diseases. They've not provided guidance that is scientific. They represent a narrow approach to food nutrition that's inconsistent with the nation's diverse cultures. They're based on weak and inconclusive scientific data, and they're essentially outmoded and anachronistic. And so I will publish this letter in, I think I'll publish it on our website, and we'll have it up there for you to take a look at, and you can sign on and have your voice heard at the highest levels of government in this country, because our dietary guidelines are just plain wrong. And the contention that dietary saturated fat increases the risk of heart disease, wrong. Dietary cholesterol increases the risk of heart disease, wrong. Polyunsaturated vegetable oils reduce the risk of heart disease, that is way wrong. And a diet that's high in carbohydrates, including whole grains, reduces the risk of chronic disease. Wrong. Low-sodium diet may be applicable for some people, but for everyone, no. Blanket recommendations, no. So we're going to push back against the current dietary guidelines. Hopefully we'll see some change, if indeed our government is at all responsive and not just a, a out-of-check runaway bureaucracy. All right, let's talk to Carol in New Jersey. How you doing, Carol?
Hi, Doctor. I'm very interested to know your opinion on Jerry Seinfeld's comments on autism and managing social interaction.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the comments. What did he say? What did he have to say?
He believes he's done a lot of work for autism.
Yeah.
And he believes that he is on the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And has always found social interaction very challenging.
Interesting.
And he and I'm sure he will make many people help people to feel more comfortable.
Right. Well, because if he's the poster boy, if he's the poster boy for autism, then it's not so bad to be on the autistic spectrum, right? Because he's a multi-zillionaire. He's very, very popular, successful. He's funny as hell. And, okay, so let me tell you what I think. There may be some kernel of truth to this. And what this suggests is, a lot of people think autism is like synonymous with mental retardation. Well, it's not. Because many autistic persons are very impaired. They have very great difficulty with daily activities and communication. And that's on one extreme end of the spectrum. And then there are people with what's called Asperger's disease, what used to be called Asperger's disease. Maybe it's not PC anymore. It's on the autistic spectrum. And these are high-functioning individuals who are sometimes great at math and, very intelligent, but they're awkward or have difficulties in social interaction. Some of the Seinfeld episodes bespeak a lack of, shall we say, social acumen, because there's a lot of confusing situations that develop. And, maybe you viewed through the autism spectrum perspective, maybe that's about an Aspergian set of characters who just don't communicate well. But I actually think a better example of that in pop culture is the show The Big Bang Theory, where the main character, the sort of wonky, nerdy science guy, Sheldon, that guy definitely embodies Aspergian characteristics because he's super brilliant, but he is terribly gawky and awkward in social situations. And, from a nutritional standpoint, I really think that there's a lot to be said for nutritional support, early intervention, the biomedical approach to children who exhibit signs of the autistic spectrum. And I no longer specialize in this, but many of my colleagues are doing fantastic work with diet modification, with nutritional support. I think that there's a lot that can be done to intervene early to turn these kids around. And then, of course, there's a lot of intensive behavioral modification that can make a difference in this condition. And of course, it's a lot of it is prenatal. I think that there can things that mothers can do. Recently, there was a study suggesting that low iron contributes to the risk of autism. I think lack of essential fatty acids contributes to the risk of autism. Excess heavy metal exposure in moms, too much tuna and, chemicals, PCBs and BPAs and all these different things. These are some of the things that may cause the brain changes that create the risk of autistic spectrum disorder. So, yeah, okay, Jerry Seinfeld wants to get out in front of that and be the poster boy for autism. More power to him. But if indeed he has it, he's one of the more successful exemplars. All right, remember, check out our website, drhoffman.com. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter. Thanks for joining us.